Do you know what time it is? It's supernatural story time. And if you're easily scared, and even if you're not, there's only one thing left to do. Just turn off the lights, because these are stories that you listen to only in the dark. Nightmare Stories, Volume 1, Story Number 1. My friends, we were having a slumber party for her birthday. She invited me over. It was me, Anna, Jody, and Elise. We were mucking around telling scary stories, making some up, and real ones that we'd experienced. Just at that time, when Jody told her, there was a big bang at the door. We were all scared because Elise's mom and dad had gone out that night, so we were home alone. We decided to lock all the doors and windows, and then we met back at the room where we slept. Jody didn't come back, and when we got back, the window in that room was open. We assumed Jody went out there to try and scare us. But thinking back, Jody was the most scared of us all. We were all scared. We checked out the window, and no one was out there, so we locked it. We checked the whole house downstairs, then checked upstairs, and then we heard screeching. We went in the room we thought it was coming from, and there was Jody trying to shut a window that screeched when it grinded along the bottom. Then we all tried to shut it, and then it just shut like that. No screeching. It was as if someone or something was holding it shut. Then the bang at the door again, 5 times. We decided to check it out. As we went down the stairs, they all voted for me to open it. So I did. Nothing there. Then, as I shut it, something held it and something said, "Let me free." We didn't understand it. What does this mean? We decided to let it go, whatever it was. Besides, we were kids. What were we going to do? No one would believe us. From that night on, we dreamt about it. But when we tried to talk about it, we just couldn't. And the truth is, we never did talk about it ever again. Story number 2. One night, I was watching TV in my room when I felt like something was watching me. In the corner of my eye, I thought I saw a shadow move. When I looked over to the corner of the room, I saw it was where my bookcase was and thought it was just my imagination. I turned the TV off and reached for the light switch so I could go to bed. There are 2 mirrors in my room on opposing walls, and one of them is very large. When I reached for the switch, I saw a shadow distinctly move in the larger mirror. When I quickly jerked my head to where the shadow might have been, I noticed the bookcase had a weird sort of dark, hazy shadow to the side of it. It wasn't very noticeable, and if I hadn't seen something move there, I probably wouldn't have seen it. I kept focusing when it moved. At that time, I got the worst headache and had to grab my head. It hurt so much. I closed my eyes, and when I opened them and looked at the bookcase, the ghost wasn't there. I looked around my room until I finally saw it. It had moved closer to me and was becoming more noticeable. The hazy darkness had gotten darker, and I could start to see the shape of a slightly bulky man. I kept my eyes on it, and it stayed put. My head was thumping, but I didn't want to take my eyes off it. Then it shrank suddenly to the floor. I didn't want to look down in case something sudden happened, so I stayed put. I waited for about 1.5 hours until I thought it was gone, and went to turn off the light. I felt something grab my arm, though, and pull at it. In my head, I suddenly thought of the words, "back moment," for no reason. I looked at the shadow and closed my eyes, thinking it would go away. It did, but when I looked around the room again, I saw it back near the bookcase again. This time, I told it to go away and leave me alone, and it quickly moved across the room near the door. There was a bottle of perfume on the mini table near the door, and the shadow knocked it off when it moved. I turned off the light and got under the covers, and it felt like the covers were squeezing me, like when you suck air out of a bag with something in it. I tried to move, but it felt like I was stuck, and I heard something like an animal dying. My bed started shaking, and I fought to get free of my blanket. I managed to stick my head out and saw the shadow figure standing across the room just watching me. I could see its eyes because they were more black than the rest of it. The bed was still shaking and the covers were still tight, so I closed my eyes and screamed. Then my bed stopped. The blankets became loose and I ran out in my PJs, got in my car, and stayed at a friend's house after telling her what happened. I asked one of my more religious friends to find someone to exorcise my flat, but she couldn't find anyone. And what I've been doing is, I've been at the house during the day, but at my friend's house in the night. I can't bear to sleep in my room anymore after what happened, and I soon moved away. Next story. This happened many years ago, and as a matter of fact, I was in eighth grade. I was lying on the couch in my family room one day. It was a calm day, no storms, no rain, just sunny weather. My TV was on. The volume was too high. I was sort of trying to fall asleep at the time. But anyway, I found myself unable to move suddenly. I knew I'd briefly fallen asleep. I tried to get up, but not only did I feel bound to the couch, but I also felt a weird sensation that something was watching me. I know it sounds weird to say it. It didn't feel like a hallucination, but it didn't. I truly had that odd feeling of another presence nearby, and I was the only one home. As I lay there, it didn't take long before I heard a weird coughing in the living room. I was in the family room. I could move my eyes and definitely open them somewhat widely as far as sleep paralysis goes. I started to notice a shadow making its way along the linoleum floor, creeping its way to the beginning of the carpet of the family room. The light over the dining table was on, as was the kitchen light, where the shadow was casting away from. Before anything else could happen, I was fully awoke as a phone rang. I shot up off the couch, rubbed my eyes, and ran to the phone, not thinking about what had just happened. As soon as I got to the phone, I noticed something odd about the caller ID. It displayed an odd number, and I knew it couldn't be a phone number, but I picked it up and put the receiver to my ear. "Hello," I muttered. I heard a weird static, like the kind you hear when the person on the other end isn't saying anything and it's just that static buzzing. "Hello?" I called again. This time, I heard a voice breathe in, about to speak. "Your day will get weird," I heard a raspy Scooby-Doo villain type voice say. Then a weird clicking sound, almost like they'd hung up. I heard two more clicks, and as I was about to hang up, now it becomes weirder. I was too puzzled to speak, so I listened for a moment longer. I heard more rustling, like the caller was messing with a phone cord or something. Then more quickly than the previous line, it said, "Now it gets entirely bizarre." And then I heard more rustling. And then another voice joined in, and they both sort of groaned, and then one, the more normal one, said, "That's about how he said it in the movie, right?" Then, "Quite so." Then almost immediately, the only sound was the dial tone. I slowly set down the phone and looked around a little bit. Just a dream, right? Well, I wasn't sure. You know, when you're awake and when you're dreaming, in a dream, you can't fully comprehend the world around you. Strange and unexplainable things happened. In real life, when you're awake, you just know it. I was not dreaming. But then I checked the caller ID and gasped. That call hadn't been recorded in the caller history thing. I heard yet another sound upstairs. It was that same coughing I'd heard previously. It sounded sick, as though whoever it was about to vomit. I gained a little bit of courage and made my way to the stairs in the big living room. My mom was at work and my dad lived in Denver. We lived in Castle Rock. Obviously, though, I was not alone. I felt like forever before I got to the top of the stairs and looked around for whatever it was that could have made that coughing sound. It would have made sense to guess that someone was playing a prank on me, but I had no friends then or enemies, so this baffled me. I detected no sign of intrusion anywhere in the house. All the doors and windows were locked. No broken glass was anywhere, and the basement door was always closed and locked. I briefly looked in my mom's room, and after I concluded it was empty, I crossed the small hallway into the laundry room. It was barely big enough for one person and quite dark. No way anyone was in there. The only option left was to search my room and the guest room, which sat on either side of the laundry room and were both connected by a long bathroom. I heard 2 feet shift somewhere. I thought against going into the guest room, as in my childhood, I had always felt an odd presence in that room, and that's another story. But then I wondered if that same presence had materialized as a ghost. I immediately scolded myself for such an outlandish thought. But then it almost seemed like something, some voice or force, was answering my thoughts. I crept into the guest room and searched around. I didn't feel as strong of a presence now as I always had, but it was definitely there. The room was and had always been. The made bed, not used for over 6 years, the dusty bookshelf, littered with remnants of the good old days, and a small blue shelf with a lamp. Then I looked to the bathroom door. Now, until then, I'd always thought I'd heard strange sounds coming from the guest room and the bathroom anytime I'd be near it. However, my mom never said anything about it. I may never know if she had heard these things or not, but I know I did. The guest room had once been my sister's when she lived with us. After she moved out, I'd always sensed that weird presence in there. Now, as I crept through the bathroom door, I got a weird chill that ran through my body. Not one of excitement, but of a sudden and unexplainable fear. I drew nearer and nearer until my teeth were almost chattering. I had never felt like this before. The house was like 50 degrees that day, and it was summer. I'd been uncomfortably warm all day and all week. I slammed my eyes shut, swallowed, opened my eyes again, and looked into the bathroom to find nothing unusual. The light shone in from the small rectangular window. The bathtub shone. The sink on the other end of the room was calm. Sometimes it dripped for no reason. And overall, the weird sensation seemed to go away. What was that all about? Wait a second. Something was odd. First, I went to the mirror to make sure nothing was weird about me. Nope. Nothing weird at all. I just stared at my reflection for a moment, then turned as a weird sound emanated from the tub. The sound of a small piece or something hitting the tub floor caught my attention. Then 2 more. Then the sound of a bigger piece clattered to the floor. Then 3 more mid-sized ones. I turned and peered around the side of the half wall that separated the 2 sides of the room. What the hell? The tile wall was crumbling away. A big chunk of the wall was gone right toward the corner. Soon, a piece fell away, revealing a small hole. Then, more around it fell off, increasing the size of the hole. I stepped back, prepared to defend myself. But a few minutes passed and the crumbling ceased. When all seemed calm enough, I slowly took a step toward the tub. I stepped into the tub and kept my gaze on the hole, afraid to look away in case it was a hallucination and would disappear. I blinked. It was still there. I reached up to touch the edges, and it was definitely not my eyes playing tricks on me. I peered inside the pitch-black hole, and suddenly I watched as a pale white arm swept across the hole from the other side. It was like someone was standing on the left side of the hole against the wall and had scratched their cheek or something, and that was their arm lowering back to their side. That's the best way to put it. Afraid to look inside any closer, I backed up. I heard the person right there breathe out, and instead of running, I angrily said, "What do you want?" But nobody answered. In fact, that weird feeling that I was accompanied by a presence suddenly lifted. I moved up to the hole and prepared to stick my head in and look around, but pain shot through my head as it hit solid wall. I shut my eyes in pain and rubbed the spot, then looked up. The hole was gone. Next story. My wife and I were wanting to move to a farming community in the Texas Panhandle with a population of about 300. We had lived in Amarillo for 8 years and 6 months. We had heard about a widow that was seriously considering selling her house in a small community about 100 miles away. We looked at the house and it was perfect for our family, which included two daughters. They were both still young girls and the school close by was a good country school. It did take a while to get everything in order due to different problems involved, but after the papers were signed on the house, we were overjoyed. We began moving our things in, and then my wife began with her preference of what color the walls should be and different changes in the house. Everything was going great for us at this time, except for that first time that I noticed that the house had a certain eerie quality to it. It was the first or second day after everything was moved and my wife needed some tools to work with, so she went over to get the things she needed. I was standing in the kitchen and was leaning against the counter. My wife had been gone only about 10 minutes and I heard the garage door raise. I thought that it was very odd that she had come back so soon, so I opened a door to the garage from the house and the big garage door was still down. When I went back into the kitchen, I noticed the only garage door opener we had was in the kitchen. When my wife got back, I explained to her that I thought we might have a spirit haunting our house. I have a gift or an ability that I've had since I was around 5 to interact with spirits, so she accepted that with a little knowledge that I was capable of knowing whether the house was haunted or not. Strange things began to happen quite frequently and increased in this house. About 85% of the time, spirits contact me in dreams, so because of this, I'm not sure which category this particular story belongs in. All of my normal human senses also react to the presence of spirits. I hear their voices very plainly, I smell their perfume and tobacco smoke, and I see and feel them. No one who does this has any actual proof regardless, unless there's a witness. And still, that's not considered proof. All I can say to anyone is what I have experienced. Even videos and photos are not proof to others. It actually started with dreams of the widow's husband who had died of cancer. They were lucid dreams. One dream had me knocking on the door, and Jay, the widow's husband, opened the door, and there's Jay's cowboy hat moving around on the floor. Jay was a thin man with horn-rimmed glasses, and he smoked a pipe. His hair was oiled like men did back around the 1950s. He laughed at my surprise at seeing the hat move across the floor. He grabbed the top part of the hat and pulled it off, a live parrot underneath it. The dream would happen often. Usually, Jay was relaxed and smiling, and I was treated like his guest. Supernatural things began to happen. My daughter's battery-operated toys began to make noises and run around my daughter's bedroom. I woke up one time around 3 a.m. and every toy in my daughter's bedroom went off. Then there was the strangest phenomena I experienced, and that's when my youngest daughter had a sleepover. All the girls were asleep, and I got up to get a glass of water. The house was dark, and I was walking past the bathroom where our guests and our daughters had their electric toothbrushes. At that time, it was a popular thing among children to have electric toothbrushes with different colored lights on them flashing when they were turned on. That night, there were 5 toothbrushes going off together, buzzing and flashing their lights. It took me a while to shut them off. At the time of the renovations on this house, I was working 4 days on and 4 days off during 12-hour shifts at night at a state prison. I was driving 70 miles one way. When I came in, I would sleep during the day. I always smelled Jay's tobacco pipe in the master bedroom where my wife and I slept. That particular day, I came in and I could smell the pipe smoke. I was undressing and feeling kind of devilish, so I said, "Jay, how are you doing today?" "Oh, never mind, you're dead." I laughed to myself. I fell asleep and had a bad dream that Jay was furious at me. And as I woke up, I heard a man's voice very loud and clear say, "Get your goddamn arm back on that bed." I looked down and my bed was actually hanging off my bed. That one bothered me because I realized how badly this was about to escalate. The next day, I waited until everyone was out of the house and I went to the master bedroom and called out to him, "Jay, I want to apologize for what I said to you. I hope you accept my apologies. We know this was your house, and you are welcome to stay around here as long as you don't frighten my children. I know you will understand because you were also a daddy. I won't disrespect you again." I believe we did sage the house, maybe, but this haunting happened over 20 years ago, and Jay's ghost has never made any problems since then. Since then, spirits are always respected, and I rarely have any problems. I still have experiences with spirits, as long as I attempt to communicate or just have a connection. I'm divorced now and live with my dog. I've slowly been able to disconnect some, all out of respect for my dog. She has a lot of fear and anxiety from me accepting wandering spirits into my apartment for short visits. It's amazing to find that so many are earthbound. Next story. So, this is going to sound totally crazy, but this still haunts me to this day. Because of the events I'm about to share, my parents sold our house and moved us into the city, and we were never allowed outside after dark. I was about 6 when my family moved into this old farmhouse in the middle of nowhere in Indiana. For context, there was an old barn that was falling apart, several cornfields, some crabapple trees, mulberry trees, blackberry and raspberry bushes, and there was a gun club just across the street that only ever had people around on Sundays. There was a bit of woods beyond the blackberry bushes, and the nearest neighbor was a classmate of mine about a mile down the road. We also had a pretty big yard that was in full view of almost every window in the house, and as long as we never went past the dirt patch between the yard and the barn, or past the trees or bushes, we were able to play wherever we wanted in the yard. It was early summer, and I was outside playing by myself. At some point in time, I got hungry and decided to snack on some blackberries. This was permitted by my parents as long as we made sure the berries were ripe. I was in the middle of collecting a handful of berries when I noticed I wasn't alone. There was what looked like a man with a wide-brimmed hat and a trench coat standing towards the back of the blackberry bushes. He was smiling at me and kept waving for me to come to him. And I grew very confused. Like I said, the nearest neighbors outside the gun club were about a mile down the road, so lost visitors wasn't exactly something that happened regularly. I tried asking him different questions about who he was and what he was doing there, but I only got the wave indicating he wanted me to approach. And I kept hearing this strange wheezing noise. From what I understand, my mom happened to look out the kitchen window and saw me standing by the blackberry bushes talking to someone. Now, I was a very active kid with an even more active imagination at the time, so I was always playing by myself and talking to imaginary people, so it wouldn't have struck her as strange behavior at first. However, when she noticed that I was standing there longer than I would if I was playing a game, she came out to investigate and asked me what I was doing. I immediately pointed to the man in the bushes, and I watched the color drain from my mom's face. She immediately ordered me to go inside and get my dad. After hearing the fear in her voice, I sensed something was wrong, and I ran to the house as I was afraid she was hurt. She was pregnant at the time with one of my little sisters. As I ran, I heard my mom scream, and something massive burst through the bushes. I don't know why or how, but something told me not to look up or back. So I lowered my gaze towards the ground. That's when I saw it. The shadow would look like a man with bat-shaped wings. From here, everything gets fuzzy, but I remember people coming over to the house to ask me questions about the man and what had happened. And my sisters and I were forced to sleep in the living room until my parents finally sold the house later that winter. I'd almost forgotten everything until I was 18 and discovered the movie Jeepers Creepers. Watching both movies, I was reminded of the man I'd seen at the back of the bushes, and I was about to write it off as my imagination when my mom came up and asked me what I thought about the movies. I told her they were scary and reminded me of the man back at the farmhouse, and I could see the color drain from her face. She immediately told me that I was never to bring it up again. But now that's really curious. Is there really a creature like the creeper? What kept it from scooping me up as a kid? Why was my mom so afraid if it was nothing but my imagination? I guess I'll never know. And in truth, do I really want to? Next story. My grandma owns a cabin on a lake in northern Michigan that I visit every year with all my cousins. There are 8 other houses in our community, and each one has been in that family for generations. Long story short, the other kids from the other 8 houses have been my best friends since I was born. During the summers, at night, we all meet at the crossroads to play flashlight games. The summer I was 14, the strangest thing happened. I'm around the older side of the group. There's a girl who's a year older than me, but the majority of the kids are younger. The youngest that specific summer was 8. Sometimes the younger kids would get scared, so pretty early on we made an emergency code word in case one of them got too scared. They'd call it out and we'd stop the game no matter what and find them. It was about 11:30 p.m. I vividly remember looking at my watch. It was nearly pitch black and we were playing sardines. We had just started a new game, so it was only one person hiding and the rest of us were wandering around searching for them when we heard ice cream truck music. It stands to say that our community is 7 miles from the nearest town. We know all the other kids in about a 2-mile radius, and all of them were definitely not out and about. They were all very young at that time, like 5 and under. And we knew that no one owned an ice cream truck anywhere near us. Why would they? Our community is private, and it has a mile-long driveway, so there would be no point in selling to us, and there are hardly any other families around for a few miles. There's no reason why a person we'll be driving an ice cream truck around in the middle of the day, let alone in the middle of the night. Anyway, we heard the ice cream truck music floating over the trees, and the oldest girl and I looked at each other and instantly used our emergency word, calling all the kids back to the crossroads. We did a head count and everyone was there. We listened to the music gradually get closer and louder, and truth be told, we were all terrified. It went on for about a minute, but it seemed a lot longer. Suddenly it stopped, and the woods around us were dead silent. Usually you can hear animals and crickets in the trees, but there was nothing. We called it quits after that. The oldest girl and I walked all of our friends home, just to make sure because we were pretty freaked. The next night, we heard it again at the exact same time, 11:30 p.m. We called everyone in again, and it got louder and stopped about a minute after it started. We didn't hear it since. It's been about 6 years since then, but it still freaks me out to this day. And the kids who were playing with it still remember it. One of them, who's 15 now, brought it up last summer, and it still scares her too. Next story. This story took place in Scarborough, a part of Toronto in the mid-1990s. We lived in a story and a half house that backed onto a cemetery. I'm not suggesting that's relevant. It's just a fact. The house was built around 1949. This happened when we were doing renovations on the second floor and remodeling the kitchen. I had an office in the basement of the house. My wife worked upstairs. On the main floor between us, we had a living room that contained some mission-style furniture, including a large double-doored glass bookcase. One weekday around 6:30 p.m. in late summer, I heard a loud crash above me, just where the bookcase was located. More than just an indistinct noise, I heard the impact that a heavy bookcase would make if it toppled over and the resulting crash of the glass vases on top of it. I heard the glass breaking and heard the scratch of glass shards skittering out across the floor in the direction one might expect through the ceiling above me. Thinking my wife might have been injured, I ran upstairs and asked if she was okay. At the same time, she ran downstairs and asked if I was okay. She described hearing the same noise, expecting it was the bookcase, but the bookcase stood exactly where it was expected to be. Our thorough search of the house revealed nothing had fallen. There was no room within the lath and plaster walls for anything to have fallen there either. Checked outside, checked the roof, checked the knee wall crawl spaces on the second floor, nothing. We spent probably an hour looking for a cause and found absolutely nothing relevant. More puzzled than frightened, we gave up. The next day, I drove my wife to have dinner with her mother. Returned home at 6:15 p.m. I started working in the basement office and at about 6:45 p.m. heard a complete repeat of the occurrence from the evening before. A massive crash. Same sound of breaking glass. Some spread of glass across the wooden floor. I went upstairs to find everything where it should be. A thorough search of the house, both inside and out, revealed nothing. I'll admit the second occurrence unsettled me, but we never heard a disturbance this loud again. There was one additional oddball sound, however. When we walked across the bathroom threshold on the main floor, we would often hear what we called the Star Trek noise. It sounded a bit like the transporter from the original TV series. We could not reproduce it at will, and we had no idea what caused it. After hearing it one day, I remember being determined to figure out how to reproduce it. I crossed the threshold literally hundreds of times to learn how to make it happen, and it wouldn't. My wife was watching me and laughing at my effort. I finally gave up and walked across the threshold to leave the bathroom one last time, and we heard the noise once again. I repeated exactly the same footfall in the same direction another 20 times. Nothing. That never unsettled us. It was just amusing.